Deuteronomy chapter 28. Brother Bobby Anglin asked me last Sunday, what are you going to preach on next Sunday night? I said, Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, oh, that's a long chapter. Well, it is. There's 68 verses in it. We're not going to read all 68 verses tonight. First of all, I want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Parrish for allowing me this opportunity to speak in this pulpit. I have great respect for Brother Parrish. We came here, I guess it's 8 years ago now, and we walked in the door and saw the red carpet, the red pews, and we said, oh my. And praise the Lord, a couple years after that, we got the blue, and the blue is beautiful. I love the blue. But it didn't keep, the red didn't keep us from coming here and getting involved in this church. There's a wonderful spirit here, a lot of people here in this church that are near and dear to us, and we really thank the Lord for leading us here. And I wouldn't have come here except, I pastored church for 19 years up off of South Boulevard at Sharon Lakes Road, and I didn't know anything about Bible Baptist in Fort Mill on Highway 21 bypass, which is weird. I mean, you guys have been here since what, 79, 80, 81? 79.
Best kept secret in York County.
Must be. And I didn't know about it, and I had told my pastor, the fellow who took over after me at the church, we stayed for 2.5 years after he came, and I told him, I said, you know, we're thinking of leaving, and he said, well, you know, there's a church down there in Fort Mill on Highway 21, but you wouldn't like it. And so we came, and we liked it. You know, people are funny, but praise the Lord. You know, we came here, met some wonderful folks, and met a wonderful pastor, and we do tell everybody we meet that comes here that we've got a wonderful pastor. And we praise the Lord for his 32 years of service here, and it's a blessing to be able to sit under his ministry. If you will, looking at the verse, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then beginning in verse 3, it says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be, shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be, when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel on the plains of Moab as they are about to turn this whole thing over to Joshua and have Joshua take them into the land of Canaan. And Moses starts out and he says, and it shall come to pass if. Look at that little word. There's only two letters in it. But if is the biggest word in this whole chapter. And if you look down to chapter 15, you see the other side of, verse 15, you see the other side of that if. And you know what the other side of an if is? But. If you do such and such, I will do this. But if you don't, I will do this. Now, as Moses preached to the children of Israel, he is preaching to them based upon what they have seen in the last 40 years and beyond that, going back into their time of Egypt, what God has done for the nation of Israel. God has done wonderful things. Moses went down to Egypt and he went before Pharaoh and he brought upon the nation of Egypt 10 plagues in order for Pharaoh to finally say, get out of here.
Right.
You know, when Moses met with God on the mountain and the bush burned before him, but it wasn't consumed, God told them, I want you to go down and bring my people out. And even though Moses was hesitant about going and didn't think he was capable of going down there and being eloquent enough to speak before Pharaoh and get the children of Israel out, he went. But I think probably when Moses went down, he thought, all I'm going to have to do is say to Pharaoh, you know, let these people go. God wants them out there in the wilderness to sacrifice. But you know, it took 10 plagues. 10 plagues upon Egypt, with the final one being the death angel passing through and the firstborn of every family was killed, even up unto Pharaoh and his family. Think about that for a minute. What would it be like just in this congregation here if the firstborn of every one of these families was killed? That would be a horrible thing. That'd be a horrible thing. You'd want to do anything you could to stop it from progressing and going further. And Pharaoh looked at that and he saw that his own son was dead. And he said, get out of here. And actually, when the people left Egypt, they took great treasure with them. Gold and silver and precious stones and all sorts of things that the Egyptians heaped upon them and said, get out of here, take all this stuff and go. But even at that point, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he chased after them, but his army got drowned in the Red Sea. And that's another story. We have to wait till Easter comes around and see Charlton Heston stretch out his arms and split the Red Sea. I don't generally adhere to what movies come out of Hollywood, but I always got a kick out of watching The Ten Commandments. Just a massive group of people on the screen, and as they went out of Israel, out of Egypt. But here we have Moses now, and he's about to die. Moses is coming to the end of his life. He's not allowed to go into the promised land because he whacked the rock instead of speaking to it, and the water came out anyway, but he disobeyed God, so he's not going into the promised land. But he's telling these people, when you get in there, God has promised if you obey his commandments, your nation will be blessed. He also says over in verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all the curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shalt thou be in thy basket and thy store, cursed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. This is a treaty that was a popular type of a treaty that was made in the ancient days, and it was based upon conditions. If you do such and such, this will happen. But if you do such and such, then this will happen. Now look at the history of the nation of Israel from this point on. They went into the promised land. Joshua led them, and he led them until Joshua was ancient and died, and the elders who were with him and died. And then we see that the children of Israel deserted God. They left God. And they went off and they served other gods. And the gods that they served were just horrible beings. Well, actually, they weren't beings. They were depictions of false beings, probably demons, who came and told these people things and they made these images. One of them was Molech. Molech, the god of fire. And they would take their sons and they would place them in the arms of Molech over the fire and sacrifice their children to this false god. And you wonder, here they have Moses telling them as they're about to go across the river into the promised land, if you keep my commandments and trust in me, you will be blessed. And yet, they chose the other side. This morning we were looking at Joshua 24 in Sunday school class, and as we look there, this very similar situation, but in Joshua 24, where Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," he was talking about basically this same thing as he was about to die. But the difference is, when Moses died, Joshua was there to carry on after Moses. When Joshua died and the elders who were with him died, then we read the book of Judges. And the book of Judges tells us that the children of Israel played with other gods. They played the harlot with other gods. Now, what happened to their land? Well, during the book of Judges, they had times of rejoicing, times of fellowshipping, times of prosperity, but they also had times of oppression when other nations would come and oppress them. What happens when you go beyond the book of Judges and you see the kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and the books of Kings and the books of Chronicles? You find that they sinned against God, and eventually God takes away their land. First, the 10 kingdoms of the north go off into Assyria, and they're carried off into captivity. And then the two tribes that are left down in the southern part, Judah and Benjamin, are carried off into captivity into Babylon. And they lost their land. They lost their land. Why? Because they chose to have the curses of God upon them rather than the blessings. And the curses of God taught the same thing to the other people in the world that the blessings did. Not those blessings. But the blessings of God on Israel show them that God was a good God and a righteous God and a holy God and a God who will keep them and satisfy their needs. But also showed that he was a God of justice who would mete out that justice if they sinned against him. It's interesting, as we look at this and you look at the history of the Jews, God allowed oppression of the Jews, but he never allowed them to be totally annihilated. There are Jews in the world today, in case you didn't know that. They run jewelry stores? No. But you know, there are Jews in the world today. Why? Because God has not let them disappear from the face of the earth, but he has let them be oppressed. And there's a sign that God is God, the fact that he has kept the remnant of the Jews. Amen. Now, there's some living over in Israel today. They're living in unbelief, but there will come a time when their unbelief will be changed to belief. God's not finished with Israel. God called Abraham way back there 4,000 years ago or more and said, "Leave your land, go into this place I'm going to show you, and I will make of you a great nation." That was an unconditional covenant. God said Israel's going to be a great nation, and they will be. And they have been in the past. They were great under David and Solomon. But boy, Solomon got the whole country in trouble when he had all those wives and concubines. Next thing you know, there's two kingdoms, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And they are at times at war with one another. But God never let the Israelites disappear. What about our country? What about the nation that we live in? Boy, we have a great history, don't we? Amen. We have a great history. I believe Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492. He sailed the ocean blue. But you know, when those pilgrims came over in 1620 and they landed at Plymouth Rock and they signed the Mayflower Compact, they decided that this nation was going to be a nation that honored God. A nation that honored God. And we've come a long way, baby. We have come a long way. I praise the Lord, I work for a company where part of our mission statement is that we will honor God in all that we do. And it's good to have at the helm of that company a man who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and is looking forward to the day when Jesus comes and takes us home. But you know, our nation was founded on biblical principles. Principles that are tried and true and that God has put into this book. But for the past 100 years, we have drifted and drifted and drifted away from those principles. Now, why? Well, you know, I believe that when we look at this Deuteronomy 28, and they're talking to Israel. Now, I'm not equating Israel and the United States because there are some people who do that. But I think there's a comparison here between Israel and the United States. And if the United States would get back to being obedient unto God, we would once again become a great nation. But we're not. We're not a great nation anymore. We have a president who bows down to Muslim kings. That's not being great. We need to bow down to one king and one king only. That's the king of the universe. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray that our nation would do that. But our nation has suffered because we have chosen the curses of God. If you read through all of these 68 verses in the book of Deuteronomy, and I would challenge you to do that. I would challenge you to read the Bible through every year if you can. I told Sunday school class this morning, I challenged myself this year to read through the Bible twice in 1 year. And I waited until March 1st to challenge myself. So I really have to go. But I've read through once all the way, and I'm back in Psalm 140 now on my way through the second time. I'm going to make it, Lord willing, and he doesn't return. And if he does return, I won't have to finish. I'll know the whole thing by heart. It's amazing. God speaks through his word. The things that I have seen just this year in reading through the Bible, things that I had never seen before. And they say, well, you probably were asleep while you were reading when you read it before. But no. You know, God's word is not like any other book. I just finished reading a book, or almost finished reading a book, on the history of the Knights Templar. And I've read several Templar novels, but I've never read an actual history of the Templar Knights. And what an interesting story. And yet, I could read that a second time and probably not get anything more out of it than I did the first time. But you read the Bible, and it's different, because God speaks through this book whenever you pick it up and read it. And hopefully when you pick it up to read it, you don't have to wipe the dust off it. Because it's God's word and we need to read it every day. The people of Israel chose, from what we can see in history, from the time of Moses and Joshua all the way to the present time, they chose to disobey God. And God didn't bless them when they went in and when they came out, but he cursed them. Say, well, you know, God chose these people. Why would he curse them? I mean, he's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a God who cares about us and loves us. He gave his son for us. Why would God curse anybody? Well, you see, we're human beings. Somebody can do us bad, and we can look around and you know, just maybe ignore it sometimes. You see, God is holy. That's an interesting word, holy. We have some people who abuse that. Folks down the street here in the Holiness Church, the Pentecostal Church, make holiness into something more than what it is. But holiness is simply us being like God. Us being like Jesus. And we're called saints. You don't have to be canonized by the Pope and the College of Cardinals to become a saint. All you need to do is bow the knee to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior and your saint. Simply means set apart. But God is holy. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross to die for you and me, God the Father had to turn his back on his Son, because God cannot look at sin. And when the Israelites disobeyed God, that was sin. Sin and God don't go together. Sin and Jesus Christ go together because he bore our sin. But when he did, the Father turned away and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They thought he was calling for Elias to come and to help him. But no, he was crying out to God, why have you forsaken me? Because the sin of the world was placed upon him and he bore it for us. But God can curse someone for disobedience. And what I want to get down to here in this application is the problem with our nation being disobedient to God doesn't start with Congress. It doesn't start with the White House. It doesn't start with the Supreme Court. The problem starts with God's people. God's people need to be obedient unto God. Because if we're obedient unto God, He will bless us and bless our nation. But our churches in this country are in a state of disarray. We have all kinds of things going on in churches today other than what it ought to be, the preaching of the Word of God. Brother Jimmy Clark, when he was here a couple of weeks ago, I wish I had his white suspenders. Wouldn't they look great with that black shirt? Oh, my. Man, next time he's here, I got to steal those from him. I like Jimmy. He is a down-to-earth, honest, born-again Christian with a great heart for God's work. You don't have to pay for that little bit there, just an endorsement of Jim. But you know, God loves us. God wants us to be obedient to Him. And if we are obedient to Him, then God can bless us. And if He blesses the church in this country, then He will bless the nation. But you know, some of the things that go on in churches today would just horrify the apostles if they could see. Maybe they can. You know, Hebrews says there's a great crowd of witnesses looking down upon us. Maybe Paul's up there looking down saying, wish that guy would hurry up and get finished. But then he preached all night and a fellow fell out the window, so I don't feel bad. But you know, it's just amazing. We go by churches and we see signs for a bazaar and a yard sale. And we see things going on inside of churches that totally ignore what this book says. We need to be true to the Word of God. We need to be faithful to our Savior. He's the one who saved us. He's the one. It wasn't activities. Activities are good. We need activities to keep people coming and being. But we need to make sure that when we talk to people and we have people at these activities, that we're pushing the idea that we need to be obedient unto God. Everything we do depends upon our being obedient to God. I would love to see a revival take place in this country. I would love to see people get saved, people joining churches, and people getting on fire for God. But it's not going to happen until the people of God get on fire for God. If we're dead, then we're not going to be able to bring the life to anybody. And so we need to be alive in Christ. He is our Savior. He is our leader. Obedience. I like that song that you referenced a couple of weeks ago that Ron Hamilton wrote for Patch the Pirate. Obedience is how you please God. Obedience is the right way. That's what it's all about. God saved us so we could be obedient to Him. I was talking with a co-worker, nice person. She goes to a African-American Baptist church over in Gastonia. And we were talking about how good God was. And she said, yeah, I think so. I think God's good. I said, what'd your preacher preach on Sunday? She looked at me and she said, well, not really sure. I said, well, did you not go? He said, oh, no, I was there. What did he preach on? He said, well, I think he was talking about some book that some African-American author had written. I said, oh, did he teach from the Bible? Oh, we don't get a whole lot of stuff from the Bible. I said, well, isn't that what church is all about? Yeah, but you know, we have to be involved in the social justice of the world, of our country. And it's a Baptist church. And from what I understand, it has a fairly good reputation among African-American Baptist churches. But they're not preaching the word. They're not preaching. People don't know what's in this book.
Right.
I've got a Bible. It sits on my desk at work. And the people come by and say, huh, Bible. That's odd. Well, you know, I keep it right here. Would you like me to read you something? Oh, no, no, I can't. I've got things I've got to do. Well, you know, they're not going to sit there while I open the Bible and read to them John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But, you know, we have an opportunity when we work with these people to let them know that we are Christians and that we love Jesus and that Jesus saved us and he'll save them. And it doesn't take many words to get that across before, you know, they can figure some way to get away from you. I don't have an office. I have a cubicle. It doesn't have a door. And so it's easy to get away from me. And because of my hip, I can't run fast and catch them. But, you know, they want to talk about everything except what's important. Boy, you listen in the morning on a Monday morning, you hear people talking about football. You hear people talking about the movie they went to. You hear people talking about the club they went to on Friday night and Saturday night. They didn't get home until 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. And you can hear about how they got drunk and how they got this and that and the other thing. But, boy, you don't hear many people talking about, you know, I went to church and they preached the word of God and we had four people go forward, get saved and join the church and so on. You don't hear that. And I mentioned before that our company is a company that has a mission statement that honors God. And it really does. It's not just a crock. It really does. But even in a company like that, you have people who are talking about those kind of things. It's not important what you did Friday night, unless Friday night was the night you got saved. It's not important what you did Sunday afternoon if it wasn't preparing yourself for the evening service to come back to church and sit and listen to the Word of God preached. We are too wrapped up in the things of this world. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in those things that we are not any good to God. I told the Sunday school class this morning that I was reading a book, and it was, I think it was one of Billy Graham's son-in-laws that wrote the book, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he said, this country has been seduced. And you know who the great seducer is? That's Satan. This country has been seduced by cool. We all want to be cool. We want to drive the car that makes us cool. We want to live in the neighborhood that makes us cool. We want to wear the clothes that make us cool. We want to wear read the books that make us cool. But you know, Christianity is not cool. Christianity is God. And God is not cool. I think God would be highly offended if we called him cool. Because cool is something the world comes up with. I don't think he wants us to be cool. But I do think he wants us to be hot. The Bible tells us in Revelation over there that the church at Laodicea was neither hot nor cold, but it was lukewarm. And what did he do? He spit it out of his mouth. It wasn't worth anything. He'd rather we were cool than lukewarm, but he wants us to be hot.
Amen.
Hot for Jesus. That we can get out there and let people know that God loves us. Do we want the blessings of God upon us and upon our nation? Or do we want the curses of God on us and on our nation? It's our choice. It's our choice. God is not going to force you to be obedient to him. God is not a God who takes you by your arm and wraps your arm around the back of you and pulls it up and gets you in a half Nelson and says, you better obey me. He's a God who says, obey me. Please obey me. And I'll bless you. As church members here tonight of Bible Baptist Church, I hope we'll choose to receive blessings from God by being obedient to Him. Because that's the only way we're going to see revival in our church and in our communities, in our states. I have to say states. Some of you from North Carolina like I am, Yankees. But you know, we need to see revival in this country. And you know, we have political movements, the Tea Party, the loonies down at Wall Street protested.
The Flea Party.
The Flea Party, thank you. That's pretty good. They've messed up that park down there pretty bad. And so, you know, we have political movement. Why don't we have a Christian movement? And we've got pieces of it. Praise the Lord for BBN, who gets out there and puts the gospel out every day, every day, every day. It's wonderful. And, you know, I talk to people and they say, BBN, never heard of it. Oh, they're at 93.5 on the FM dial. And they're at, 9:30 on the AM dial here in Charlotte. Listen. Oh, is it religious? Yeah, it is. It's Christian. Oh, I listen to WPEG. You know what that is. That's that hip-hop, blasphemous rap stuff that comes out of Concord. Or Concord. Where's it? One of them's in New Hampshire, one of them's here, but it's the one in North Carolina. You know, God wants us to be at work for Him. The Bible tells us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, to take it that they might know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and He wants to save you today, that He wants you to go out and be faithful to witness for Him. And you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of words, because most people aren't going to give you time for a whole lot of words anyway. But just get it out there and say, listen, I'm a Christian. Would you like to be one? Would you like to know what Jesus can do for you? Amen. And He can do wonders for you. And if you're obedient to Him, He will bless you upside, up one side and down the other, because that's His business. He loves blessing us. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful to You tonight for all You do for us. And we thank You, Lord, that You are willing to bless us if we choose to be obedient unto You. We thank You, Father, that Jesus was willing to come and die on the cross for our sin. Lord, we pray that You would make us faithful servants of Yours day by day. Help us to be what we ought to be for You. And Lord, we'll give You praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.